As Ned comes up to read the scripture for us this morning, you must realize that Jonah, this little book of Jonah, little book, four chapters long. You know, you can do it, read it before lunch, you know, whatever. But this is the only account that we have from any of the books of the prophets where an eight-word sermon poorly preached converted an entire city and much livestock. You read it. It's in there. It's also more of a parable or allegory, you could say. It's not just about a runaway prophet. What it is about you and me. Hear the word.
Well, today's scripture reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
All righty then. I just need to ask a question. How closely did you listen to the children's time this morning? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's the sermon, okay? You've heard it once, but maybe if you hear it twice, you might remember it better. Well, maybe I ought to go ahead. Kind of like to have a paycheck this week, okay? Boy, y'all are not with it this morning at all. I was just being kind of silly there. Well, but it is true. The story about Jonah is one I have always loved. And I was always fascinated as a child with this story of Jonah. Never could figure out this big fish. And I love that part of the story. We'll get into that in just a bit here. But it was a story that got my attention, I know, early on as a child. And you know, I noticed the kids were intent as Michelle was sharing with them this morning. So that's the way it is. So we'll see how we do here, okay? What Annette read was the second time that God called Jonah. Here's the first. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out, for their wickedness has come up before me." God's on the offensive here, if you will. And Jonah, unlike the other prophets, who at least talked with God about the call that they received, or questioned it, or like Moses, "Oh, I can't do that, somebody else can do this better," gave excuses. Jonah didn't talk to God about it at all. He just proceeds to head in the opposite direction. It would be like Jonah lives here in Blue Springs, gets the call from God to go to St. Louis. And he doesn't waste any time whatsoever, and he makes arrangements and heads right off to Denver. It's the same scenario there. And why would he do that? Well, number one thing that you've got to remember is that the Ninevites were hated enemies of the Israelites. So that just meant that Jonah didn't like Ninevites at all. And he also thought, boy, I wouldn't say this to you, Lord, but Jonah thought that God's idea was just stupid. Going to these people who are just oh my gosh, sinners, and there's just no hope for them. And why would you want me to do that, Lord? So he just shut up, didn't do anything, and was headed for the wrong, or the other direction. And in the midst of that, he said, you know, those Ninevites, they worship idols. Oh my gosh, I don't even want to have anything to do with them. So he's still in this negative run. He says, and you know what? If I told them anything about you, Lord, they'd probably just laugh at me. And I'm not going to be put to that kind of embarrassment. I mean, Jonah's pretty gutsy here. And he's thinking. Now, he's not having this conversation with God. He's having this conversation with himself. And the real bottom line just might have been this. The Ninevites were not of Jonah's kind. You hear what I'm saying there? Not like me. Not even from my race. And so he just did not want to go. Now, that was Jonah's problem. But we, you know, you can just pat yourself on your shoulders. We're not like Jonah at all, are we? I'm looking at Faith's reaction on that one. We don't ever want to run in the opposite direction. When God calls us to do something, we do it. Just like that. I see some heads even shaking here, okay? Well, mine is, because I don't always want to do what God wants. No, no. But I do cry out about it, you know, and I do have a conversation with God about it. But I've heard things like, yes, Lord, I know that is an injustice, but somebody else will take care of it. And I won't have to. Or you hear things like, forgive her, Lord. Well, if I did that, people would call me a holy roller or something like that. I would be embarrassed. Another one, especially with VBS coming and Michelle sitting in the room. Teach a Sunday school class or VBS? No. I'm too busy. I'm not qualified to do that. Besides, I'd rather just sit back and enjoy my church. That step on any toes? It stepped on mine numerous times before I finally gave in and said, yes, you and me, Lord. You know, sometimes we say, I've just got other things to do. And those other things become more important to us than God also. Like Jonah, I think we would rather be left alone, to sit in our own little corner of the world, basking in all that God has given us, than to be uprooted and to sit where we don't want to go. The word of the Lord comes, and the truth is, I'm afraid, Jonah isn't the only one running. We are running also. So, back to the story. Jonah gets on the boat at Joppa that's going to Tarshish. It's at the end of the world, as Jonah sees it. And he figures, the end of the world, God won't be there. And so he feels like he's safe. And all we can say, because we know the rest of the story, wrong, Jonah, you're all wrong. So God hurled a great wind upon the sea. And the little cargo boat was tossing and turning in the waves as they were breaking up and down. And where was Jonah? Well, he was in the bow of the ship, sound asleep. Because see, he figured his worries were over. That God wouldn't be able to find him here. Again, wrong. I wish I had one of those little buttons. Blah, you know, you're wrong, Jonah. The sailors, though, were terrified as the sea just kept, the boat kept rocking even more, and the waves got higher, and it was just scary. And so finally they said, well, just throw some cargo overboard, and maybe that'll help us out. Well, it only did for a little bit because the waves got even higher. And then one of them remembered. There was, just before we left the dock, there was this guy that got on as a passenger. I wonder where he is. Here we are praying to all of our gods to help us out of this situation, but we need more prayers, so let's find him. So they searched the boat, and they found him down in the bow, sound asleep, and they wake him up and realize, and he's realizing that, yeah, they are in real danger because the boat is just about to break up apart. And I'm just thinking, what happens to us if we are awakened abruptly and exposed, if you will, to our apathy or our non-connection with all that's going on around us? And then we learn that we're about to be destroyed, and we learn even deeper that we have put other people in danger as well, just as Jonah had done with the sailors on the boat. You might just have to think about that a minute. Well, Jonah explained to these sailors, like I said, who were praying to all their gods. They didn't leave one out. They wanted all the help they could get. And he explained to them that he was Hebrew and that he worshiped the one true God, the God who in heaven, who had made the earth and the sea. And he does go ahead and explain to them that it's all his fault that they're having this horrible storm at sea, because he explains to them that he is running away from God. And so he just says, throw me overboard. Well, these sailors, I mean, you hear stories of sailors. Mostly these stories of these sailors aren't quite as raw as some of those, because they had a heart. They couldn't just throw him overboard. So they dug in some more. They're rowing and they're trying to control the boat. And the storm just gets worse and worse. And in the midst of that raging storm, they hear what Jonah has been telling them about his God. And lo and behold, now they're starting to pray to God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And they're doing this patiently. And finally, they do come to the realization the only thing they can do is to just throw Jonah overboard. So they pick him up and they toss him into the sea. And as soon as they toss him into the sea, the storm calms. You see, the sailors feared the Lord. And they were in awe of this awesome God that Jonah had told them about. And yes, they were converted right there in the middle of the sea and the storm. They even offered God a sacrifice and made vows to God to be faithful to God. So I think it's kind of interesting that it's shown in this story that these pagan, you call them that, sailors, because they had so many gods, were converted and were even more God-fearing than Jonah, who had been called by God. Now is where the story gets fishy. Okay, this is a part of the story that most people will recall when you mention Jonah. Okay, and I like to call this the original Jaws. You're there. Good. Yes, a big fish comes along and swallows up Jonah. And I guess you could say it's kind of a free submarine ride for him. But he also remains in the belly of that big fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Now Jonah starts talking to God. You better believe he really does start talking to God now, because he cries out. He says, God, save me. And isn't that funny how We tend to run from those calls that tell us to go out and help others. But man, when it has to do with us and it's all about us, we cry out for help. We're not unlike Jonah in any way. In fact, I said earlier, there are four chapters in Jonah. One whole chapter is Jonah's prayer. Now, Jonah knew how to pray. He knew all the right words to say, and it's recorded there. And so he does conclude that I'll offer you a sacrifice, Lord, and I'll do what I've promised, because salvation comes from the Lord. So Jonah finally got his head on his shoulders. But in the midst of this prayer, because it went on and on, the fish got sick and threw up, casting Jonah back on the shore of Nineveh. Jonah was saved from drowning. The sailors had a nice, easy journey the rest of the way. And if this had been the original Jaws that was filmed in Hollywood, it probably would have just quit right there. It would have ended. The story would have ended there. But see, God doesn't work like Hollywood. God is not finished. And he says, okay, Jonah, let's try it again. This time we'll go with plan B. Praise God, there's a plan B for us each and every day, right? God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Thunder in their ears, let lightning flash in their faces, let their hearts be stirred up, let them react, let them respond, let them renew, let them be revived. The word of the Lord still needs to be heard in Nineveh. Jonah, nothing has changed, and I'm calling you to do this job. But I kind of sidebar again here. You know, had Jonah changed? It doesn't really say, but I can tell you what, you probably agree with me. If I'd spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale and then got out on the whatever that noise you made was, out onto the shore with that fresh air finally again, I would have been changed. And I'm sure you would as well. And so he goes into the city. It's a huge city, Nineveh is. 3 days' journey, they say. Of course, you're walking. Probably take me five to get through it the way I walk these days. But anyway, Jonah goes. Does Jonah go into the city? Boy, okay, I'm going to do this for the Lord. And just is so enthusiastic, he hops right on in there. No, he walks like I do. It takes him a while to get there. And he gets as far as one day into the city. And at that point, he brings his marvelous 8-word sermon. So get it right. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Does Jonah preach that like Billy Graham would, with conviction and power? No. I say he preached it like this. And looking down, too. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He didn't thunder. God told him to thunder. And after all, I think Jonah's thinking, what if these people would repent? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They'd be making pilgrimages to God's temple, the one true God. God's temple. They'd be sitting next, as Jonah would say, next to me in church, saying the Lord's Prayer in broken accent. Well, they didn't have the Lord's Prayer back then, but that's okay. I'm just saying that. They'd be rubbing shoulders with Jonah in the choir. They'd be moving in next door. Their kids would be going to school with Jonah's kids. They'd be marrying his sons and daughters. See, Jonah wanted Nineveh destroyed. Because remember, he didn't like Ninevites. They were the enemy. And so Jonah preached that 8-word sermon as lousily, if that's a word, as one could. But one word, 8 words, one person heard. And that person's life was changed. And that person told the story to another, and then another, and that person to another, and it just spread. All of a sudden, Jonah is seen, much to his horror, this great evangelistic movement going across Nineveh. People believed in God. And they fasted, and they put on sackcloth as a sign of repentance. And the paupers did it. The richest of wealthiest of folks did it. The king did it. And in fact, the king got so excited about all of this that he put out a proclamation. All men and women and their animals would fast and put on sackcloth in repentance. Now I'll tell you what. If I saw a cow in sackcloth, I'd know there was something going on, right? Wow, everyone, everything is what's being said. And when God saw this great awakening, oh my, God was so elated, I guess you could say. God turned his plans of destruction for the city of Nineveh into, no way will I touch them. Now they are going to be blessed. They have turned to me and I will bless them. Wow, what a success Jonah was. You know, Jonah should be happy, ecstatic, right? Say it with me. Wrong. Jonah was angry. He was angry enough to die. And so Jonah prayed to God. Actually, it was more of an angry thunder to God. And he says, it isn't fair. That's what I thought you would do in the first place. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. And he's just livid. And so maybe we say today, oh, Jonah, oh, people of God, that's the way God works. That's just the way it is with God and God's mercy and steadfast love. God is always pushing us to be better than we are. God is always pushing us to grow beyond where we are. And God is always pushing us to love as God loves. And that includes loving all people. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Jonah is me. Oh, yeah. But Jonah is also you. And God is calling all of us to go where we don't want to go. And we may complain, and we may drag our feet, and we may try to run away like Jonah did. But like with Jonah, God has not only that plan A, but a plan B. And I say, he's got a plan C and D and E and all the way to Z for you and me. And we may say no once. We may say no twice. But if we continue to say no, Jonah's story tells us that we may find ourselves like Jonah, going to the Ninevehs of our lives with a powerful 8-word message. Because you see, God will use us to spread God's message. He will use us. Are you listening? Can you hear the call? And then the big question is, will you go? Let us pray. Oh God, you do love us so much. And you know the potential that you've created in us because we are created in your image. That potential being to reach out in love, in compassion, in joy and hope and thanksgiving to all people around us so that they too might one day come to know you. Oh God, continue to call us. Don't ever give up on us, and we know you won't. But strengthen us that in hearing your call, we might be able to say, you and me, Lord, we can do this together. Amen.